Welcome to Christian Assembly, a family church. Since 1930, we've been serving the communities of Western Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia with the good news of Jesus Christ. With over 40 years of Bible teaching and ministry experience, Pastor Bill brings faith-filled revelation from God's Word. We believe with you, wherever you are, that God will inspire and change your life through the following teaching. For more information about Christian Assembly, follow us on social media or visit our website at cafamily.net.
As you know, it's the hour of power. You know that it's our time of believing God, studying His Word a little bit, and worshiping Him and honoring Him. And title of my message tonight is Warfare and Worship. Warfare and Worship. And 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 20 through 23 will be our opening text tonight. And we thank you, Father, for ears to hear it, hearts to receive it, minds that are open to it, and for changing us by it from glory to glory. We'll give you all the praise you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Here, you know the story of Jehoshaphat, the battle that took place, but in Chapter 20, 2 Chronicles, in verses 20 through 23. If you recall that story, you understand three armies were coming against them to absolutely annihilate them and wipe them off the planet. And so here it goes. They sought the Lord and all that. And they rose early in the morning, and they went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the Lord, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And when they had begun to sing, when did it happen? When they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Now that's chaos and confusion, wouldn't you say? That took place right there. Well, we're in a spiritual warfare, every single one of us. Whether you're an individual, whether it's a church, whether it's a family, or whether it's a nation, we're all involved in, whether we like it or not, spiritual warfare. Can you say amen to that? Do you know that? That's a reality, right? And the more we understand that, and the better we're going to provide for that and prepare for that, because we know we're involved in it. Okay, so we're not going to be taken by the fact that we've been challenged in an area of our lives. So we know that's going to happen. So, thankfully, God has provided for us weapons of our warfare. And they're spiritual weapons that we can use to enlist His power and strength and help to overcome the enemy. And as this story here is, here's a nation. The nation has three armies coming against it, and they have no good intentions whatsoever. Sometimes I say they're the devil, the world, and the flesh, those three armies coming against all of us, but operating also in the world today. And what does he do? He sends out the praise and worship team. So the praisers get together, and they go out before the enemy, before all these three armies, and right, they're going to be in the front line of battle. What kind of logical sense does that make? It doesn't make any sense at all. But if you put this all together, you'll find out that when they began to praise God, that God moved by His Spirit upon these people, got confusion among them, and it killed each other off, and they had victory. But there's a whole lot more to that whole story than just that. We understand that, number one, he sought the Lord in prayer to find out what he should do. He acknowledged his need before God. We don't have power against this might. You know, they've got more power than we do, so we need more. We need help from you. And thirdly, we see that they had to rely on God's resources. We have to rely on God's resources as well. And then fourthly, we see that they trusted in God. They trusted in what He could do, His ability, His power, His might. If you trust in yourself, you're going to lose the battle. But if we trust in God, whether it's ourselves, our nation, whatever, we need to trust Him. And then also we understand that they had to receive direction from the Lord, which He gave them exactly where to go, where to set up, and what to do. Then they had to act in faith. By doing that, they acted in faith. And then finally, what did they do? They praised the Lord. They gave praise and honor and glory to God. So we see those seven things that were in manifestation here in this particular story, resulting in what? Victory for the people of God. And a nation was delivered, and set free from sure destruction. Would it be wonderful if our president would stand up on a broadcast and say, people of God, we are going to we're going to fast, we're going to pray, we're going to seek the Lord. You know why? Because this nation's going in a bad direction right now, but we are going to believe that the God of our fathers, praise God, who brought to this land Christian principles, we need his help and we need deliverance. We need his ability and power unleashed in our land like never before. So it would be great if our president would call us to do that. You know what? We could do it without him calling us to do it. Can't we? We can do it without him calling us to do it. And I do believe that God wants us to step up and step out and start praising him for doing what only he can in this nation. Okay, next, look at Acts chapter 16 as an individual. We can do this for our nation, but also as an individual. Paul and Silas, they got themselves into trouble because they were proclaiming the gospel. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. What did they do? Two things, prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them, so they weren't quiet about it. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, everyone's bands were loosed. So we see here the power of God was on display in demonstration. Why? Because they prayed and took the situation to God, and they praised him, bringing God into the situation. So be it a nation or be it an individual, as these individuals were, we see that they prayed and they believed God and praised him for the answer. Before seeing anything, before even seeing him move, they praised him for the victory. We need to learn a lesson there, because it's easy for us to complain about everything that's going on and give a little bit of praise to God. But God wants us to praise him, praise God. Now, God gave the victory, but what was the involvement of man? Man was involved by praising and worshiping God on both of these counts. Praising and worshiping God for the answer, for the victory, and it came their way. This third one is so important. It really struck something in my heart when I saw this. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, this is the demoniac. Look at the first 7 verses. They came over to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Boy, he was really satanically empowered, wouldn't you say? To break chains and all that. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Notice what he was doing, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Whoa. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. You ever take time to really think about that? He's praying to God. This demon speaking through him is praying to God. I adjure thee by God that you don't torment me. That's something to consider, isn't it? But he goes from crying and cutting to worshiping at the feet of Jesus. And what that tells me is that Satan could not, even though he possessed the man, could not stop him from using his free will to get to Jesus. I want to say that again. Satan could not stop this man from getting to Jesus because it was his will to get to Jesus. And something tells me he did not want to be bound like that anymore. So even though Satan possessed the man, matter of fact, there was a legion, we're told, in the man, could not stop him from worshiping Jesus. And to worship means to show reverence by prostrating oneself before the Lord, to show honor to him, reverence to him, to adore him, to pay homage to him. That's what this demon-possessed man did as an individual. And of course, what happened? He was set free. We've all been commanded to worship God and to praise his name. Look in Psalm 95, wonderful psalm. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God And a great king above all gods, and his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, and so on. But notice the call for us to worship God, to praise him. And I think we're learning something here by having these Wednesday night services. Praise and worship is not just singing a song. It is like they received this revelation of God fighting for them, defending them, empowering them. And they sent out those praisers because, you see, they heard from heaven. And when you hear from heaven, there's only one thing left to do, and that's to praise him. We believe it shall be, Paul said, even as it was spoken by the angels to us. So stay in the boat, and we're going to make it to the shore. When God speaks, we believe, we act upon what he says, and no matter what comes against us, we know it has to be God's way. Whether it's come, walk on the water like Peter did, or whatever it is. We know when God has spoken, praise God, what's left for us to do is come and worship him. And look at David in Psalm 34, how much he believed and practiced praising and worshiping God in difficult times as well. What does he say here? I will bless the Lord once in a while. No, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble, if you're humble, you'll hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, worship and praise, really, it's the highest expression of our faith toward God. That's what it is. In other words, I've studied your word. I know exactly what you want to do. I know what you said. As a song we just sung earlier said, you've already done it. The battle's been won. The victory is ours. All I'm going to do is praise you for the victory. And that's what all these did. And what happened? Praise God. They were delivered. In the end, a nation was spared. Because why? They praised and worshiped God from the depth of their soul. I'm telling you, when you hear from heaven, you've got something inside you that moves you to praise and worship God, knowing that you have the victory. The enemy was confused and confounded, defeated, and overcome. Why? Because they praised God, and God inhabited the praises of their people and showed himself strong on their behalf as their hearts were upright before him. And then also, spiritual power is released whenever we praise and worship him truly from the heart. Not just singing an empty song, finding out what the words are and going through the motions of it. And we've talked about this so many times. It's when it really penetrates our very soul, when it comes up from the toes, when it just is generated from our innermost being, the praise comes out of our belly. Out of our belly, true praise and worship flows like a mighty river. It's an inward thing, it's an upward thing, it's an outward thing. It is God moving upon my heart, upon my soul, knowing we have the victory. I've told you this many times. When my daughter fell, and it looked like it was so bleak, it was so horrible, and we laid hands on her, and the power of God came on us as we were praying in the Holy Ghost on her. And all of a sudden, it was as if the hand of God just lifted me up, and I said, now she's healed, let's go finish our Bible study. Thank you, Jesus, and praising him, and praising him, and praising him for the victory. There are no words, there's no price, you know, to pay that a person wouldn't pay. When I think about that, it spared her life. And I shudder to think that if I didn't do that, and we didn't do that as a team and as a family, what would have happened to her? Look at Psalm 149. When we worship and praise God from the depth of our soul, it pushes back the powers of darkness and releases the power of Almighty God. It brings judgment upon the enemy. You want, this is a privilege we all have. Watch this. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and the nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this is it, dishonor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. This is an honor that we all have. We can open up our mouth wide. He will fill it, praise God. And as we praise Him and bless Him and thank Him for the victory that He's won for us, He shows up, hurls back the powers of darkness, makes Himself known, infiltrates governments and people's lives, and works miracles and signs among the people. All that's left to do for us is praise Him. We want to get this country turned around? Praise Him. You say it's going to be the election. No, it's going to be the praises of God's people that believe that God is working in a powerful way in the earth. And if we can help them along the way, that's good. Remember this, the victory belonged to God, but the means through which He brought the miracle to pass was human beings as they praised and worshiped God. Can you say amen? And what's left for us to do? Rise up above our emotional feelings. You don't always feel like praising God. But I'll tell you what a challenge. When we feel not like we shouldn't praise God or don't feel like praising God, all the more reason to praise God. I can't even imagine that demon that possessed that man couldn't stop him from running to Jesus. And then he's begging for mercy. God, do something. Don't do this. Don't torment me. But the guy got delivered and set free and followed Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.